Good morning, sir.
You asked me to bring the purpose road file forward once again so that the commission could discuss it.
Thank you.
Could you start with a brief history of all the way back to when the first work was done so that we can be, I don't think Jim has even been brought up to date.
Well, I got an earful yesterday, or full of ear from some residents of when it started, back in Finest Keys days and stuff?
Yes.
Yep. But I'd like to hear that version, just to compare the versions.
At one point in time, Commissioner Meadows made a motion to take Purvis Lane into the county road system for greater maintenance for a period of 1 year, and added that the road should be declared as a disaster. Commissioner Gann seconded the motion, and the motion passed by vote. Gann, yes. Meadows, yes. Keys, yes. So at one point in time, our crews did maintain the road, greater maintenance.
For 1 year?
For 1 year.
Okay.
And there are some residents out there that remember that.
Yes, I talked to one of them.
Along with that, some significant road improvements were done at the time.
As they said too.
Including probably several hundred tons of gravel and several tin horns were installed at the time. And some ditches were established, but not to the degree that they need to be established to keep the road in good shape. This goes back to 1998. Talks about the different residents that lived there, and that the road had dirt on it, partway up down the road, and some gravel on it. And the areas of dirt where there were no gravel were getting very muddy. The commissioner stated that he was waiting for the ground to dry out a little bit before putting base on the road. Presiding Commissioner Keyes stated that Commissioner Meadows and him would take a look at the road and see what they would take care of and what the cost of the work would be done. That was in 1998. It appears that in 1998 is when the period of 1 year was started to take care of the road.
Is there any indication that the road was actually maintainable? When we did greater maintenance, was it once every 6 months, once every 3 months?
A Class 6 road is on our petition. When the petitions go out to explain the different classes of roads, it states that our greater maintained roads would be maintained a minimum of one time a year and more if needed on an as-needed basis.
Okay.
Here's a summary of Purvis Road file that I put together when I first came here. The original petition with signatures was dated 10/17/01. Letter of denial, no record of Purvis Lane ever being taken into the county system from 11/7/01. Road petition review dated 5/12/2003. Letter of denial of petition until right-of-way is granted dated 5/2003. Interviewed two long-term employees that stated they were told to fix the road on a one-time only basis, those employees being Sam Yarnell and David Stottle. Quick claim deeds for easements as early as 1991 from Mary Purvis, and a quick claim deed from Robert Didier, 5/3/2001. Tinney County Commission record from 1998 on Purvis Lane. Commissioner Meadows made a motion to take Purvis Lane into the county road system for greater maintenance for a period of 1 year and added that the road should be declared a disaster. Commissioner Gann seconded the motion, passed by vote. We've had these, at one point in time or another, these people, one of them or all of them have been to the county repetitioning and asking during times of inclement weather that the road is not accessible. Several people down there have medical conditions and the ambulances refuse to go down the road. Emergency services and such, that fire department has said they're not able to go down the road. In recent times, they've tried to do some things by themselves. There were large ravines down the upper portion of the road, and they filled those with bricks and rocks and rubble. And it's still, last time I was there about 6 months ago, is still in deplorable condition. It did make the news during one of our FEMA events that one of the television stations from Springfield was down there and talked about the condition of the road. And
okay.
Was that Purvis or was that...
There's another one down there.
The other one.
That was Meadow Ridge.
Blue Ridge, isn't it?
Blue Ridge. That was Blue Ridge. I'm sorry. On the,
that's the one TVs were on.
That's the one the TVs were on, was yeah. Blue Ridge.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Did you, as Randy did, and I'm not sure that we'd even start that process, did you ever make a video of that road?
I remember seeing one.
It or Blue Ridge?
I'm not sure.
I think I remember seeing one in here one time, but...
Which one you looking at there?
This is Purvis Lane. I'm just looking to see.
How many residents are on Purvis Lane, do you know? We had one abandoned trailer on the left as we went. And
further down the bottom? You mean further down the hill?
About midway down or less.
There's two or three now that look abandoned, but they're actually occupied.
Back in 2003, this road petition review stated that six families live on the road. Projected traffic was 20 to 25 trips per day.
I'm just going to ask, don't read into the question, the grader maintenance. If we ran a grader up and down that thing once a year, would it make any difference?
It would depend on the amount of rain and the intensity of the rain. Would it make a difference right after you did it? It would be a lot better than it currently is.
Right after the thunderstorm would be washed out.
Yeah. That's how I remember. I mean, I've been on the road. The only way to fix it really just basically asphalted.
The length of the road is 1.2 miles.
That's the first problem of asphalting the whole thing. I know that a lot of the gravel that was put on there is down the creek bed down at the bottom. So we'd need to bring in, if we were going to do any repair, we'd have to bring rock back in, wouldn't we?
Is the lower road where it splits, is it designated as another road, or how's it named? You know, Chuck?
You go down a ways, and towards the end is, on the left, is Fawcett. And there's one or maybe two houses on Fawcett turns off to the left before you get to the bottom.
I couldn't remember.
And there's another one.
You're talking about this split right here, Danny, right?
There's another one that turns off to the right, about halfway down or something.
That's fine. That's where it splits. Oh, that's fine. Donna, it was fine.
Sorry. That's supposed to be your vision up, isn't it?
Yeah. Let me back up a little bit here.
Renee says she has a crew to tear down the wall. She's just waiting on somebody to give her directions. So I told her to check with you.
Okay. There's Freesy, and there's Fawcett down here.
Fawcett. And Freese is actually right on the...
Right in the creek.
Near the creek,
maybe
yeah.
Zoom that up a little bit here.
And then right down there in the bottom left, there's a little... Road that bears off farther. Down there. There you go. That's a little road, I think. Comes off.
Missouri you've been talking to, she's kind of near at the creek, right freeze or whatever, up there. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
And the railroad burned it. Airport drives across.
Over here, is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, her property joins the airport.
Is that off it?
Did he?
Well, I don't want it in the permanent maintenance, but I'm trying to think, is there something we can do to help? I shouldn't say that. I'm not thinking I want to put it in the permanent maintenance program, but is there something we can do that would help? It's one of those situations. I know why they did a one-year maintenance on the thing, because it is a disaster.
The year that it was petitioned first, that it first came to our attention, was the year that it rained so much. And I can understand their want for the road to be turned into a county road, and I can understand their need for a good road into the area. But there's a mile and two tenths of basically downhill decline. And the material that's been put on the road, other than what they put, the blocks,
all that, right,
bricks, things like that, other than those materials that are so big and rough and jagged that they can't wash out, everything else that was, even those blocks and bricks and things were covered with somebody running them down through there, you know, with a tractor or something. They were washed clean whenever I was down through there. And I don't know, Frank, was that you and I that made the trip? Somebody was with me that made
yes, you and I
the trip down through there. And we looked for sources of material that could be used alongside the road.
On site.
There was site.
Isn't there plenty in the creek? It would take too much to get out of it?
There's a lot down there. When Danny and I drove it, probably well over a year ago now, we looked at the sides of the road, and a lot of base material had washed off to the sides in certain parts of the road that would be usable.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it just improved. Obviously, the weather has a lot to do with it. I just don't want it in the permanent maintenance.
Whatever happened to the Homeowners Association? I remember it being discussed at one point that Winning was the developer. They ever look to see if they could get anything out of that as far as...
I think you're thinking of Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This one would surprise me if they had a homeowners association.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
My thought is, we take it in. We take it for maintenance.
Okay.
Not just a one-time deal, because they spent... It seemed like I got the idea that they probably spent $25,000 or something on it. Did a lot of work to it back in 98 or whenever it was.
We did. Yeah.
The county did. And well, we just did it, and then we went off and left it.
Right.
And when it started washing with no maintenance, it just kept...
Right.
It's just really bad. So I would rather us go in and straighten it up a little bit.
And,
you know, once a year, pull the gravel back up where it washes out, or I don't know. In the long run, but to just take it in once, some other commissioner's going to be sitting here
doing the same conversation,
years and in between the people can't get in and out. I mean, it's
how much time, money do you think it would cost, Frank?
The original estimate was $30,000 to $50,000.
Oh my gosh!
Because of the hammering and the length of the road at 4 to 6 inches of gravel.
Okay, what's give me another option. What a couple thousand dollars, what would a grader and...
My option, and I don't know what I'm talking about probably, but is a dozer for a bit, and then take a grader and just...
If we could establish a strong crown in the road, then in the event of a rain, it would have less of an impact on Right now the water drains down in some parts of the road, down the center of the road.
Yeah.
If we could establish a strong crown, we could have the water go down.
The ditch line that's supposed to be there?
Right.
How much, but that's, is that 30 to 50 you're saying?
That's for a complete rebuild.
Okay, don't give me the Cadillac. Give me a Yugo price. Give me a crown. $5,000?
Without putting any material on it at all and using what's existing, it would just be the labor and the fuel for the equipment charge.
So nominal.
Nominal.
Seemed like you told me maybe a week of a 3 or 4 man crew to bring it up where it's passable.
Right.
If we establish a crown, do you think once a 6 months on a grader would be able to maintain it or not?
Yes. But if you have a, if we don't establish real ditches to the depth that most of our ditches are, and you get a significant storm, there may be a good portions of the road that would be washed out. Because culverts or tin horns are not in the correct places, where a so-called gully washer would come across and cross the road, that section of the road would probably be washed out. So there's a need to have additional culverts put in at strategic locations.
I want to bring one thing up that I think is important, and it was in my decision-making on the thing, is E.F. Gann was a commissioner at the time, and E.F. had worked on state roads. I mean, he was, his pictures, if you go up and look at in MoDOT, his pictures on the wall is one of the leading supervisors in Southwest Missouri. And he's the one that voted with Wade Meadows and Finest Keys to call the road a disaster. I imagine EF had quite a bit of knowledge about the incline and what to do and where to put ditches and things like that. I took that into consideration also. Of course, we were talking about at the time two roads at one time. We were talking about taking Blue Ridge in
right.
and Purvis. We had both groups here, I think, at the same time. And there is considerable work to be done, and to put a crown in the road, what we've got the problem of so much glade with so much steepness. I'm not even sure the percentage of the steepness in certain areas of the road to I do feel for those people there, just like I feel for those on the other end of the Blue Ridge deal. I even went down and visited with those people on the other end of the Blue Ridge project and offered to try to get have a benefit or a pie supper or something like that to get some money to establish some improvements there. I made mention at the time of the money that we raised for some of the park projects, and I talked with Mr. Jones and some of those, and I never did get any reply back from them. But I just don't know how much, unless we go in and do a major road project there, that we're going to accomplish with 1 year maintenance.
Well, I got two thoughts. I had a question for you first, and then there's a big concern that fire and ambulance won't use the road anymore. So they don't have the services. And my thought is, if a grader can get them to a point where they can at least have those services, I feel like an obligation, just if nothing else, if it's passable for them, that's why I'm open to just the maintenance part versus rebuilding the road. It is. I don't think anything we do on that road without paving it, true paving it with asphalt is going to fix the problem. And that just doesn't, it's not feasible to do that.
The office texted me and said there is a message, there is a video of Purvis on file on the computer.
We're having a power problem here. We'll have to call Phil, I guess. My question is, how does FEMA reimbursements work? If an area is declared a disaster, do we have to have maintenance on the road for us to...
In past cases, we have.
So if we had the road in the maintenance program, there was an event, FEMA could reimburse us to rebuild the road?
Back to the condition that it existed
prior
to the event.
Okay. And because the last FEMA event a couple years ago, it was in bad shape before the FEMA event, there was really no money for that, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm trying to get this all pictured in my mind. Did you go with us, Chuck? Did we go on a field trip out there?
On Purvis?
Purvis and Blue Ridge?
Two or three times. We had a field trip one day, and I don't know if you went down.
I went down there, Danny. The first time I went down there was with you before I took office.
That was Blue Ridge.
Was that Blue Ridge?
That was Blue Ridge.
But we had a trip.
Wow.
I think with Frank, I'm not sure that you... We looked at one other road. I don't know. I've been down there two or three times.
Yeah, I have too.
Mr. Fawcett, here's my pitch. Mr. Fawcett halfway maintained it with the grader. He had an old grader. And I think that's the only close to real maintenance other than 10 years ago. And if it's four guys for a week, we're talking about $2,500 to just get it where the ditches aren't this deep down the middle of the road. And if we spend $2,500 every year or two,
it's not.
That's
why I'd rather
serve those people, and, like you said, ambulance and all that. And just, go in there. It's kind of like Cedar Creek Pro Tem Road. We just worked on it a little bit long for years and years. And it's coming up in shape, but it's a rough sucker. I guess it still is. I've been on it a long time.
It's a lot better.
But anyway, we've been plugging along on it a little bit at a time, and I'm not saying that we necessarily need to do that. I'm just saying, they're so deep that unless you got a truck.
Well, I guess what I'd like to see
is very minimal.
If we just did it a one time without and see how it held up for a few months before I voted to take it in. Does that make sense? Because I'm concerned that the maintenance, what we're trying to talk about, it'll cost us more to maintain it.
They brought it up again. Would you want to take another field trip out there and actually just take some footage, yardage of material, look at existing, try to figure out what we want to do?
I've been out there three or four times.
It's a mess.
I don't see no need of going out again. It's a mess. It's going to... Anyway,
well,
I don't see any reason to cut it off anymore.
One thing I hate to do is look at a situation. There was two trailers that we went by that we had people come in here that said they lived in those trailers. There hadn't been anybody in those trailers for a long period of time. Weeds were growing up in front of the front door.
Right.
To the point, and sprouts in the yard to where you couldn't even get the front door of the trailer open.
Is there any easement problems? Is there an easement issue?
Not last time we checked, we had all easements from all the property owners. I'd like to propose, since you're leaning this way, I think, anyways, that we send a grader down there for a day or two and see what we could make some drastic improvements with a grader with the material that's on site. How long that lasts all depends on the weather and the runoff that we get.
That's how I'm looking. Just run a grader down there and see what he can do with no bringing no material on, one time, and just see what it looks like, and how it holds up.
It would make a significant difference.
I want to before you go that route, and I want Bob to look and see what the statute reads as far as us maintaining a road without a. This other deal was a disaster. That's how they got the one time, and that's the reason it's quoted in there as being a total disaster, right?
Don't believe there's any statute that would govern on this one. Basically, what it says is that under taking in a road as a public road, making a road a public road, the use by the public for a certain period of time along with an action by the commission will make it a public road. Or use by the public and expenditure during that period of time on the road by the commission can make it a public road. I believe it's already dedicated to the public.
Correct.
So the worst you could do is make it a public road, which it may be already. What you have is a county maintenance system. There are no statutes on what you have to do to have something in the county maintenance system or take it out of the county maintenance system. So I don't really think it has any effect whatsoever other than your possible liability for conditions of roads. If you did some negligent repair, and because you repaired it in such a way that it made everybody go off to the right into some trees, I suppose if you didn't have sovereign immunity, you could be liable. However, unless they could say that you negligently maintained, if you didn't maintain at all, that'd be like a lot of other roads, okay? And you wouldn't be in any different shape than you are on any other public road for not maintaining. But a negligent maintenance, and I don't think you've maintained lately, so I don't think anybody's going to get you for negligent maintenance unless it's negligent non-maintenance of a public road. So that's the full analysis, I think, of what your situation is.
Okay. The lady that came in and stood before us said that, and she didn't, she acted like she'd made a mistake when she said, my property joins the airport. Whenever it crosses, are we going to get into a situation if the airport decides that they want to go and use that road for a service entrance into a full-blown operation for semi-trailers and things like that, other than going through a neighborhood? That was a concern of mine.
If it's dedicated to the public, you cannot prevent somebody from using a public road unless you put some signs that apply to everyone. I mean, I suppose you could put up signs that say, no vehicles on this road over 2 tons or something. You know, you could have those sorts of regulations. Or in a residential neighborhood, I suppose you could put up signs that say, residential traffic only. So you could regulate it in that way. But basically, a public road is a public road, and anybody can use a public road unless it's vacated.
Okay, but I'm talking about it. You mentioned something there that keyed the question that I asked, liability. If they decide that they want to use that for a service road of some type, the county would be responsible to
fix it in a position to...
But is the road, you're saying, is there a public road to the airport? I don't think
no,
so.
No, it just goes to her property.
Right, so you're...
We're not going to have any...
something, I mean, there would have to be a bridge built across the creek, or you're looking at something that isn't there.
We're not going to have any more responsibility to take care of this public road than we are any other public road, which begs that question, do we have the... requirement or the obligation to take care of all public roads, and I don't want to get into that debate, but to the extent that the answer would be yes, then you would have a requirement to take care of this public road. If the answer is no, then you wouldn't. And any time you have to take care of a public road or you've taken it into your maintenance system, it's to the degree that you believe is necessary to properly maintain that road. So if you have to put in bridges or that sort of thing, you can just say no. I mean, we're not going to do that. And you can close down roads and vacate them if you meet the statutory requirements. Am I misspeaking, Frank?
Well, I'm just questioning. Could one argue in a court of law that based on previous maintenance done and expenditures to this particular road, that at that point we sort of deemed it a county-maintained road because of those efforts?
And I think we could clearly say that it is no longer a county-maintained road, whatever that is. I mean, you show me in the statutes where it talks about county-maintained roads and non-maintained public roads. There is nothing in the statutes.
It's just public and private, basically.
It's just public and private.
But ownership-wise, I guess Frank's saying, did maintenance ownership take place when we did the improvements back in 90 whatever?
What I said earlier is that the only, I think, liability that we would have is for whatever work that we did. Should our work be done negligently that created a hazard for the public, we could certainly get sued for that absent sovereign immunity. However, anything that's washed out a long time ago that, you know, right, it's washed out anyway and would be in the condition that it is in now, can't really be blamed on us. The only thing that could be blamed on us is not maintaining. And if we have an obligation to maintain in a safe manner, then I suppose we could be held liable for not maintaining, but that would be on any public road that we don't maintain.
What I'm saying is there's a reason that they put that this road be declared a disaster in the prior minutes. There's a reason that quote's in there. It's not that it was put in there for a joke or anything like that. It was put in there because of the condition of the road by the Western Commissioner, which was Mr. Wade.
Okay. So it's a disaster. I mean, I believe them.
Nobody's argued that, I don't think, at all. But they went ahead and worked on it.
There's a couple of reasons for saying that. It's a disaster.
It was a disaster. They went ahead and worked on it.
It's a disaster. That's why we're only going to do one-time maintenance. We'd never take this in because it's a total disaster. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is these people are on a public road, and this is a total disaster, and we need to do something about it. That's another way of looking at it. If there's another way of looking at it, please tell me. But, you know, I don't think anybody disagrees that it's a disaster.
It's awful. I mean,
yeah.
The statute that was quoted a few weeks ago, what is it, Bob, 229.2?
Okay. Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but okay. You mean, are you talking in reference to another area of the county?
Yes.
And I've done a very complete analysis, including an attorney general's opinion on those points, if you want to argue those points. Okay. But
well, here's a short Frank Preston interpretation of that statute that says, we, the county, has the right and ability to maintain any road in the county to which extent the funding allows. And
right.
That's at your discretion as to how you spend that funding. There are very few roads in the county that have been had such a strong voice as Blue Ridge and Purvis. I think the county would, I'm against taking the road in personally, but I feel for the people that live there, and I think the way that statute is written, we could take that road in and maintain it to the extent which we feel is feasible and or reasonable. And by doing incremental maintenance, start out with a grader, see how long that lasts. Find out where the bad washout spots are at, put a culvert in there. And maybe in 5 or 10 years from now, it may be improved to the full extent that which it needs to be.
My only concern about taking it into the maintenance program is that the expectations go way up. And that's my biggest concern, is that they're going to expect it to be a super highway at that point. Not this year, maybe not next year, but it could easily be used against us that this is in the maintenance program, and it's a challenging road, to say the least. And that's the only reason I'm saying I'd rather run a grader on it, see how it holds up after multiple months, and then make a decision to take it in or not to take it in, just to see how it holds up basically after we did a one-time deal on it.
And I just want to say that I agree with Frank's reading of that. I mean, obviously, the county has the right to take into its county maintenance system any public road for maintenance, and they only have to maintain it to the level that they believe is necessary.
Right.
However, you may be giving yourselves liability for at least that level of maintenance, absent sovereign immunity on a particular situation. And you've got to look at the cost of maintaining it in the standard of a Class 6. One might even go further than what Frank said. I mean, John Ashcroft did, in the Attorney General's opinion, which isn't binding on you, that you have the duty to maintain public roads to the extent that monies are available. But it doesn't tell you in what condition you shall maintain them. That's up to you at what level.
I mean, do you feel like there's an exposure to the county if we took it into the maintenance program and we didn't maintain it to other Class 6 roads in the county? If someone went down a different road and said, hey, that's a Class 6 maintenance road.
Bob just said it. It's our responsibility and duty and judgment of how much we maintain it.
I do feel if we did, made some improvements on purpose, that Blue Ridge residents would want the same thing. I think we would be opening up, because of their close proximity, I think, if I lived on Blue Ridge and I saw you did that to Purvis, I think I'd personally want the same thing done.
Well, we went to Blue Ridge and did to the point of where we had elevation problems, mm-hmm. the percentage of elevation. I don't think elevation's ever been brought into this, even into this discussion.
Purvis is not. I mean, it's not a. It's going downhill. I think, like you said, Dave, but. There's not any areas that are just extremely steep.
I don't remember. Like I said, it's been a while since I was out there.
Is that working yet?
No. Okay. No, we were having a hard time with the broadcast. Just for this, I'm not in favor of maintenance, of the permanent maintenance program. I am in favor of running one of our graders down there and trying to dress it up and see how it holds. Are you guys, are you at least open to that, Chuck?
Oh, yeah.
Better than nothing.
Absolutely.
If you do, are you going to come down and do the road that goes across from J to K on my place? I had a business on it.
Put it on the petition.
No, I wouldn't ask people to do that.
I know.
But, I mean, that's the same.
Well, I live on a road that this county's turned down multiple times, and it's paved.
That's just what I'm saying. It's a real touchy situation.
It is. The only thing that concerns me, probably the number one thing, is emergency services. They do pay, people do pay taxes for emergency services.
Right.
And they can't get those services. They can't get the fire protection, and that's what concerns me. And that's why I say, if we can make it passable with a grader, I feel like my obligation, at least to an extent, my obligation's been fulfilled for those residents. That's the only reason I'm looking at that. That's why I don't want the maintenance program right at this point, because I don't know what greater maintenance at one time will actually do anything, if it'll wash away in 30 days from now when the fall rains start coming.
I'll make a motion to direct Road and Bridge to run a grader, as you've just described, on Purvis Lane and see what kind of...
Using the existing material.
Second.
Ready
to vote? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. What else, Road and Bridge?
That's it for now. We meet later to discuss.
Coon Creek at 10:30?
Yes.
And our MoDOT Hollister, is MoDOT here?
Oh, that's 9:30.
9:30 for MoDOT Hollister, I believe.
It's right here?
Yes.
Okay. You'll be back for that?
Yep.
MoDOT reps are going to be here?
I don't know who set up the meeting. I don't know who set up the meeting. They were supposed to come back and give us a proposal of...
You didn't?
I didn't.
I didn't.
You set it up?
Must be MoDOT then, because I was at one of the Jack Wilson retirement. Bob Stewart asked me about it. I came back to ask about it, put it on the agenda, and it was already on the agenda. So I assume that they...
I was going to text Nikki, but I guess I'm going to walk up there and find out.
Okay.
We have a 9:00, but there's nothing posted for
administrative. Do we have any more administrative stuff to talk about?
That's all my mind. Just, Bob does.
Bob.
I've raised the issue with a couple of you. I don't know what we want to do about it, if anything. But I had a visit from the Gages late last week, and they indicated to me that they had a situation where out at Cody's, that area, there was the assessor had divided the property properly, I think in 07, and they paid taxes on their portion in 07, and Cody's paid on their portion. And then in 08 somehow, and he doesn't believe the problem is at the assessor's office, he got billed for, he got a tax bill that included a lot of Cody's property, which hadn't happened in 07, and he disputed that he should be paying Cody's bill, and he's still not paid his 08 taxes and fees and penalties and all that sort of thing have arisen. He has no problem with paying his own taxes. He has a problem with paying Cody's taxes and with the fees and penalties for 08. I don't know exactly how to deal with it, whether it should be through BOE or you guys, but he said he didn't think it was his responsibility to get Cody's to pay part of the tax bill that was given to him because it was given to him improperly because the assessor had it split properly, but the bill was incorrect.
How is that possible, Bob?
I don't know.
I mean, if the assessor does his job, the collector sends out the bills, correct? So if the assessor did his job, then nothing should have changed.
And I will forward the information to you. He has emailed it to me. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because I told him that I would. And evidently he's trying to sell the property or something.
I believe it's under contract is what I've heard.
And it's going to kill a sale. And
right, because the taxes have to be current. And
what's it? Is he asking us to do?
Waive the penalties because
waive the penalties and interest, and if we approach Cody's, he believes that Cody's would pay the rest of their part of the bill rather than having him have to go to Cody's and do it because he didn't feel like he was supposed to be the Taney County collector, and they wouldn't believe him just on his say-so that you need to pay this many thousands of dollars. So he wanted us to cooperate to get the rest of the money from Cody's that was their part of the bill.
But it's their parcel anyway, correct?
It's their parcel.
So we really don't usually ask, for example, you to help Chuck pay his taxes. I mean, it's the same situation.
Doesn't lie within our responsibility.
No, it's our responsibility to collect taxes from Cody's and our responsibility to collect taxes from the Gages. And but it's not our responsibility to make the Gages help collect taxes from the Cody's.
We've had issues like this. The information's brought to us. This is what's happened. This didn't get done, or this was done wrong, or this or that. And that's why you ought to waive the penalties and interest.
Under 7-11, we can waive the penalties and the interest. That's not the problem.
We need a reason. I mean, we need to know what happened, don't we?
Well, the government made an error somehow, and I think that's going to be pretty easy to show. And if we didn't, we don't waive anything.
My point is, if he would show that we've made an error, the county made an error, then we address it.
I will give you the documents, but I believe he's pretty clearly stated that we made an error. And
I mean, I haven't talked to Justin about this at all.
He's saying that his taxes the year before were such and such amount, and then he paid them. And the very next year, they included a portion of Cody's property, and his taxes were considerably more, and Cody's only had $1,900 in taxes, whereas the year before, and I'm throwing this out of clear air, it was like $15,000. So their taxes didn't go down $12,000, $13,000 in 1 year.
My point is, is the county commission has the ability to waive the penalties and interest.
Right.
He needs to come to the county commission with his information or send a representative.
Okay.
Representative.
That's what he was asking. He couldn't see you guys on that day because none of you were here, and that's why he came in and saw me, and that's why I'm telling you.
Can we do
you
we
know we got to post it.
I understand. Yeah. So that's the purpose of my standing up and telling you about it. So
we need to post it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, let's just get it posted.
Ask him to get his information.
Right? I mean, you've got it, right? You've got all the information?
He's emailed it to me.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it, but he's emailed it to me.
Why don't you send me a copy and send us all a copy, and then we'll get it posted as fast as possible.
Bob, this doesn't make a bit of sense. Absolutely none.
Okay.
In the first place, We don't know that he didn't have a verbal agreement with Cody's to pay the taxes in this situation. We have no evidence whatsoever being presented to us that, other than the tax raise that he says that included part of Cody's. Now, he does make the statement to you, because I heard you say it two or three times, and I heard you say it before, that everything was all right last year.
In 2007, not 2008.
In 2007.
The split was there.
The split was there.
It was there and everything.
Right, in 2007 the split was
okay,
fine.
Okay, how do you get an add-on?
Well, I mean, if there,
I don't know. He
there could have been an error. There's been other errors where they unsplit something by accident, or Cody's could have done a split, and then that part of that split went to Gage's. I mean, there's ways the government could have done it. I just have to look at the information. I guess we don't have to debate it because we don't have the information.
Right. Obviously, there's an apparent problem, and he spoke to James before he came up to see me.
Okay.
And James said everything, according to him, was in order in his office, and it should have been billed the way that it was the year before, but it wasn't.
Okay. Just forward it to us, let's get it on the agenda, and we'll bring Justin, and I guess if it's Sheila and James in here, we'll hash it out.
And just, I'm not saying Justin's got to come if we just have the information.
And Justin may be wrong. I mean,
he might be. I was just saying, we'll bring him all.
He is. We need to know something. Something sounds squirrely.
That it does.
I'm just saying it needs to be dealt with.
That does sound squirrely. Email it to us.
I'll email it to you. And when do you want to put this on the agenda for? I would say as soon as possible. He said he mentioned something about Thursday having some kind of sale or something, or.
Shouldn't take that long.
We can have Nikki contact him and see if, I mean, we've got some time Friday morning. We're going to be here anyway. Otherwise, we can just push off to next week. But if there's a sale pending, I think Friday morning we could probably, it shouldn't take but 30 minutes probably.
Why don't I just have Nikki schedule it with
Justin.
With Justin, with your schedules.
That's wonderful, Bob. The MoDOT is the one who called in to schedule the meeting. They will be here at 9:30, according to Nikki.
Good. Okay, we need to call the Corps of Engineers, according to Frank Preston. I just got to...
Okay.
And...
just see where they are?
Yeah, I just need to go up to the office, get John Heiser's phone number, and call.
Okay, well, let's just declare a recess, because that means it's an...
Okay. Do we have anything at 9 or come back 9:30?
9:30.
Okay. Recess to 9:30.
Already.
Help you, gentlemen.
Now you're lost.